everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have a great program for you today. Listeners, did your marriage or former relationship end because you chose the wrong partner? And do you trust yourself now to make the right choice for a new relationship? Well, today's program is all about dating after divorce or the end of a long-term committed relationship and how to select the right partner for you the second time around. My guest today is Kelly Brandley. She is a dating and relationship coach, matchmaker, speaker, and workshop presenter who lives in Zurich, Switzerland. Kelly supports clients around the globe to rekindle troubled relationships or to start over and get back into the dating scene following divorce. Now, as a past executive headhunter and business coach, she has successfully supported and coached hundreds of people through new and many difficult relationships for over a decade. Her philosophy is that no matter how much anxiety, sadness, relationship difficulties, frustration, or loss of hope, you can rebound and heal yourself to find and keep a fulfilling relationship full of love, joy, and true happiness. To learn more about Kelly Brandley, you can visit her website at kellybrandley.com. Now, also, listeners, I have met Kelly in person, and she is smart, intuitive, and very knowledgeable. So welcome to the program, Kelly. Great to have you with us today.
Hi, Terry. It's great to be here.
Yes, it's great to hear your voice. And I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Now, one of my favorite topics.
Yes, I know. We've talked about this topic before. I know. Now, before we get started with the topic, tell listeners, what motivated you to become a coach, dating relationship coach, and matchmaker, especially since you were a business coach and executive headhunter before?
Yeah, that's true. I spent, like you said, 10 years headhunting for the global pharmaceutical industry. So I was working with senior execs, people in really high pressure, high travel careers. And I noticed more and more as time went on that candidates would come to me with this sort of feeling of being unhappy in their life. Mm-hmm. And of course, they would approach me saying, I need a new career to fix this. But as we would start talking, they would say, you know, the job's really impacting my personal life. My marriage is struggling or my relationships. Maybe they would admit they were in a midlife crisis. And I started to realize that so much of my career coaching ended up being relationship coaching in the end. And so as I always had this desire to help people grow and find happiness, I've been able to sort of combine the best of three key areas of life. So career, personal growth, and my favorite topic now, which is relationships.
Your favorite topic. Mine too, by the way, Kelly. Mine too. And it's so interesting and important to understand that relationships and the health and well-being of our relationships impact us in so many different areas of our life, whether it be health, career, as you said, our whole personal happiness, our well-being, our bodies. Our relationships are so important. Now, you're located in Switzerland, and I said in the intro that you support clients around the world, around the globe. How does that work, and what types of clients do you work with then?
Yeah, well, I still work with a lot of corporate executives, entrepreneurs, except now it generally spans all industries. The people tend to still have very busy and demanding lives and be traveling a lot. They're people that usually already know the value of working with a coach because they've probably done that for business to help them get results faster and reach their goals. Mm-hmm. And because of their lifestyle and their travel, they could be anywhere in the world. And so we do all of the coaching work via video conferencing. So it doesn't matter where they are or where they happen to be at that moment. We can still have a session and they don't need to be located in Switzerland or spend the time traveling to meet me.
And that is great. So anyone having a relationship challenge or experiencing divorce afterwards and they want to pick the right partner the second time around can connect with you as a coach.
Absolutely. I'd love to hear from them.
So let's talk then about dating after divorce or a long-term relationship breakup and how to select the right partner the second time around. Before we get to the selection process, tell us about some of the challenges for a divorced person or for someone breaking up after a very long-term relationship commitment.
Well, that is in itself a big challenge for a lot of people after divorce. They've probably not dated for 10, 20 or more years. And they look at this and they can be overwhelmed initially by the changes in technology with all the online dating. Mm-hmm. They find that their expectations may not match the reality today. There's new etiquette and then there's this whole new world of terminology around dating today. So people have probably heard of ghosting, but right, they may not be so familiar with things like breadcrumbing or benching, catfishing or kitten fishing, which is a new term that's appeared.
Kitten fishing. Tell us what that means, by the way. I was up with you going, I understand, except that last one.
The last one. So catfishing, just to let people know, is basically a way of deceiving people. It often relates to romance scams, online dating scams, where people create fake profiles. Kitten fishing is sort of a lower form of deception where people change their profile to appear more attractive online. So men tend to lie about things like their height and their career. Mm-hmm. Women may lie about their age and their body shape. And the most common one we see a lot is people posting photos of themselves that may be 10 years out of date or really photoshopped. So when you show up for a date, you could be meeting somebody that doesn't resemble the person you thought you met online.
So when you're coaching people after divorce or a long-term relationship breakup, do you inform them about all of these terminologies or concepts? Do you encourage online dating? What's some of the advice that you give?
Yeah, I definitely would encourage people to use online dating as one way to meet people. Mm-hmm. I discourage them using it as their exclusive way to meet people. I think it's much more important to use different aspects and avenues to meet people. So it could be utilizing your network, asking people to set you up, looking at different social avenues, common hobbies or something, meetup groups is another way to go out there. A lot of the clients I work with, we work on an ongoing basis. So they'll come back to me with questions as they're starting to date. So it's not like I go out and give the sort of crash course in online dating in terms, but they'll say, hey, you know, I was dating this woman and then all of a sudden she went cold, but then she'll write to me every 2 weeks. I don't understand what's going on, you know, and then we'll start talking a little bit about what happens with sort of people putting you on the back burner for a while where they date other people with the intent that maybe if that relationship doesn't work out, they might want to come back to you at some point.
And all good advice. And I love the idea that you tell your clients that there are many avenues, many ways to meet that someone special. My husband and I were fixed up on a blind date. And that was 27 years ago, Kelly. But, you know, I think people today forget about using their network, as you mentioned, and that people around them know other people. And so asking friends and family to fix you up is a really important way to meet that someone special.
Definitely, definitely.
Now, you state that selecting the right partner after divorce or a long-term relationship breakup has little to do with finding the one and much more to do with becoming the one. What does that mean?
Yeah, this is something I talk a lot about with my clients. And many people will say to me, you know, opposites attract. And it's true that in an initial attraction with somebody, there may be this thing of interest in somebody that's very different from you. But as I'm sure you can confirm, science shows us that it's not necessarily opposites that attract, but actually to build a healthy long-term relationship, it comes down to things such as familiarity and similarity of values. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk to my clients about becoming the one, it's about really living their true values and being a match for their ideal partner. So maybe I can give you a quick example here.
I would love an example.
So if a client says that they really want a committed long-term relationship, but for some reason it's not happening, they keep dating the wrong type of person, you know, people that are looking for hookups and just there for a temporary relationship, I'll work with them to really get below what their beliefs are and what's blocking them from finding this relationship. And it could be, you know, maybe their ex-spouse cheated on them and now they believe that every person they meet is going to do that as well. Or it could be a belief system about what they deserve. So they might not feel deserving of a happy, long-term committed relationship. And what happens if these beliefs are underlying, they're not showing up to potential partners as the person that they would want to date. So when you're thinking about it from the other side of the table, this person is looking at them and saying, well, they're telling me they want a long-term relationship, but the way they're behaving and the things that they're telling me about themselves, they don't really align. And so that's where we really work on them becoming the one they would want to find so that they can get this alignment of values and that the other person is finding the similarities in them that they ultimately desire.
I love it. I really love it because when people come to me, and I'm sure they come to you as well and say the same thing, they're saying nobody's out there. The right person isn't out there for me. Instead of looking within themselves, trying to identify their own beliefs, who they are, what's preventing them from finding the right one, but really taking a look within ourselves. And that seems to be what you're saying. Am I correct?
Absolutely correct. It's definitely worth spending the time to look inside and really be sure who you are and what it is you're looking for.
I like that. It's all about us, everyone, listeners. And now I know you've developed a new group coaching program, and it has 6 key steps for anyone who's re-entering the dating world. And I know we can't get to every step, Kelly, but share with us just an idea of what the steps are. And then I would like to go back to module 1 and that selection process or that first step. So what are the 6 steps in general?
So SELECT is an acronym that stands for selection, esteem, life values, emotional availability, connection, and trust. And as you mentioned, it's a program I've developed. It's 12 weeks and I run it in different formats, either one-on-one coaching, online group coaching, or an intensive weekend seminars. The first module that we start with is module about selection. And this covers everything that you would need to know about going through the selection and the vetting process of a potential partner. So we work on creating an ideal partner profile together, where you can meet Mr. and Mrs. Right. What creates chemistry and attraction? A really exciting part to understand.
Yes. Oh, wait, man, before you go on, tell us about that part. I'm sure listeners, their ears went, ooh, I want to know what that is.
The chemistry. Well, I base it on what I call the psychobiological factor. So this is about understanding mind and body. A lot of people talk about, you know, chemistry being the spark, right? So this feeling of excitement you get when you meet the right person. And what science tells us is it comes down to this aspect of familiarity. But this doesn't always mean it's positive familiarity. So we can have familiar experiences with negative past experiences that we've had. So if you meet somebody, and let's say, you know, the example that somebody cheated on you in the past, and you meet somebody who displays similar kind of characteristics or talks in a similar way, it might feel familiar to you. And through this, it can cause a release of chemicals in the brain, which you may feel as a spark. And it's really important we spend a lot of time understanding how this works so our hormones don't mislead us into choosing the wrong partner.
And that's so common, right? Where
absolutely.
The hormones lead us to someone who is not good for us.
Mm-hmm. So we go through a lot of questions to ask, like really how to use the vetting process, and also what to expect during that first year of dating, because you're going to go through some different phases, you know, and there's some common places where people like to jump off of a relationship when things start to get, you know, a little bit more difficult and those hormones start to wear off. So a lot about that is covered in module one.
I like module one, step one. That probably will be my favorite of all six. But let's go back to that vetting process. Can you share a few questions that you give to clients during that process to tell if this is just our hormones or if this is the right person for us?
Actually, I've developed a whole module just around the types of questions you want to be asking. So the third module relates to our key life values. Mm-hmm. And this, in order to be able to tell if you actually have a future with a person, you want to get down to understanding if there's alignment on those key life values. And so we talk about 8 different areas. And in each of these areas, I go through a list of various questions you want to understand. So to ask what's their vision of a long-term, committed, trusting relationship? How do they experience conflict and what's important? Like, do they believe in the rule, never go to bed angry? You know, we talk about things like work and money. Do you want somebody who's working or are you expecting somebody that's going to be home when you get there and have a meal prepared? So there's so many really important questions you want to be asking throughout that whole dating process to really vet the person.
I see. And of course, you know, Kelly, that my research study, my long-term research study, where I've been following those same couples for over 30 years, has found exactly what you're saying, that similarity in these key life values between two partners is so essential in creating that happy, healthy relationship over time. And I know you and I have discussed this. So basically what you're saying then is these questions about key life values, you first have to identify your own, and then you are seeking or trying to search for someone who is similar to you. So is that a good summary of what that module or what that step is all about?
You're correct. And when one thing that I've seen quite a lot is people that start dating, especially after divorce, without understanding their own values, what happens is they'll go out and they might meet somebody where they have lots of chemistry with. And then what happens is instead of sticking to their values, they make their valuables moldable to the person they've met. Mm-hmm. And then they can get 6 or 12 months, sometimes years into a relationship, and they wake up and they go, wait a second, the person I'm with doesn't meet my core values. Mm-hmm. And it's because they weren't clear when they entered the dating process of what they were looking for. And they then molded their values to fit the person they'd found.
Right. And I think also when we're in a long-term relationship, whether it be married or non-married, we compromise and we change a little bit. We don't become that other person always, but we do change and compromise. And then when that relationship ends, oftentimes I have found, Kelly, that we're not the person we really are, genuinely are. And so that after divorce or after a long-term relationship, we might have to spend some time really looking again, as you said, within ourselves. Who am I? What do I stand for? What do I want to stand What are my values? So not only do we then date and maybe mold to others because of our hormones, but sometimes I have found that clients don't know who they really are because of the relationship and compromising for so long. Do you find that as well with your clients?
Absolutely. I've seen that. It's a process. I like to think it's rediscovering yourself. I think people don't change that dramatically, but like you said, from compromising for so long, pushing their needs down, maybe giving up things that they love, they need some time to rediscover the passion for their hobbies and their outside interests and really get back in touch with the person that they truly are.
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, as you said, people incorrectly assume that what they want long-term is their opposite, because it is exciting, right? Somebody who is different from us is exciting and arousal producing. But what we're saying, listeners, is that what you want is someone who is you, who is similar to you. So once you identify who you are and what you stand for, find someone who is very, very similar. Now, have you worked with clients on this step, and has it worked? What's their response, either to the whole program or to this step specifically?
To this step of getting to know yourself again?
Yeah, and the key life values step. I think that you mentioned this was step three.
Everybody loves this. I mean, I think this opens people's eyes again. To a lot of the reason they may have been unfulfilled in their relationship. When we go back and reconnect with those parts of them and what's really important, they can also start to process then why the relationship didn't work out. And it gives them a lot of hope for the possibility of finding somebody that is going to give them a relationship where they can be happy and fulfilled long term. So the feedback on this has been really fantastic.
I'm so glad. Now, we only have a few minutes left, Kelly. The time flies when you have such great information. Once listeners then have found that someone special or the right one, are there any first date strategies that you might share either with your clients and now with us?
So first date, I always tell my clients that they need to look and listen. And what this means is we know that 7% of communication is based on words and 93% is based on body language and tone of voice. So those two aspects. So I'm always telling them, don't just hear the words, but look at how the person sitting across from you or whatever you're doing is responding, what their tone of voice is saying. Are there any mismatches? Are they, you know, looking you in the eye, et cetera. Just a side note on this, this is why I always caution people about spending too much time online. 7% is words. It's so easy to get deceived when you can hide 93% of your communication offline. So dating online, I always say, please meet somebody as soon as possible so you can really get in front of them, so you can do the look part as well as hearing the words. But getting back to there, yeah, you really want to understand the whole communication and really be conscious of looking at the person and their nonverbal communication as well. And the second thing I always tell them is don't expect the first date to have a big spark. Mm-hmm. You know, as we said, it's about familiarity. So that initial spark can often be a physical familiarity, but to get down into the deep values, you need to spend more time with the person, and it may take a bit of time till you find those similarities and core values, and then you'll experience the spark. So the goal of the first, second, and third date is just to see, do you want to have another date with them? Not that you define this as the person I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Oh, I like those two strategies a lot, those tips, you know, to really look at the nonverbal language and your tone of voice of the tone of voice of the person sitting across from you or next to you. And then don't expect the spark to happen on the first date. If you're looking for similarity in those key life values, it will take two or three dates. That is wonderful advice. Listeners, hear those two date tips. That's wonderful. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today. I always love talking to you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Terry.
And again, listeners, if you want more information about Kelly Branly, her dating relationship coaching, or her Select, S-E-L-E-C-T group program, please go to kellybranly.com. And Branly is spelled B-R-A-N-D-L-I. You can also connect with her on Facebook at Kelly Branly Coaching or on Instagram at Kelly Branly, where she regularly posts insightful dating and relationship advice for you. Now, as always, thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.